All right, let's put our hands together for our live audience joining with us. It's a blessing to have those watching us from afar. We have people watching as far as Portland, Oregon, and all the way, just all across California. But we also thank God for the people who are in Muncie inside the building. So we appreciate you. Give yourselves a hand for you being here. All right, with our Bibles in our hands, come on in, repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Amen. We are finishing up our series. I believe we're finishing it up this week. Finished up our series called Mantles. Amen. Mantles. Would you put that up for me? Mantles. All right. Somebody say mantles. All right. Let's go to the first definition that we have for mantles. And number one is a loose, sleeveless cloak or shawl. And we talked about that. It was a physical thing that was worn, but we've been using it as a spiritual thing that we wear. So what we're wearing is not something that can be seen with natural eyes, but these were something that was natural that you naturally put on. But the spiritual implication is what we've been dealing with. And then definition number two, an important role or responsibility that passes from one person to another. So not only is it a spiritual implication, it also carries a responsibility and can be passed from one person to the other. So for recap, mantles part one, we had the mantle of love. That's what we left with, was the mantle of love. How we wear the cloak of love, and even though it's something you can't physically see, when we move and function in it, people ought to feel the love of God coming from our lives. And we dealt with coming out of the election season and how many church people are at each other's throats about who they voted for. And we said that should not be us. We should have a mantle of love that dictates and governs everything that we do. And then last week was mantles part two. And we talked about Elijah and Elisha. And then we came up with this. I will summarize. I didn't use this as a point last week, but this is a good summarization of it. The mantle of an anointing, when you get the responsibility from someone else and they hand it down to you and you grab an anointing from someone else. And so we have the mantle of love and we have the mantle of the anointing. And then today is mantles part three. Somebody say part three. And this is where we're going to work with today. It's called the mantle of purification. Somebody say purification. The mantle of purification. And so give me a little minute and I'm going to kind of work it and bring us up to speed of what I mean by this. And it'll help us. And so these cloaks that we're wearing, and when it's spiritual, naturally you can't wear more than one at a time. Spiritually, we can wear several different mantles at one time. And so we have the mantle of love, we have the anointing, but now we have purification. And what I want to do, I want to make a separation and a difference between purification versus purity. Purification versus purity. I'll spend just a little time talking about that, because the bottom one, purity, is often what the church teaches. And to be honest, the church has done a bad job teaching purity. There have been actually whole movements called purity movements. And the problem with those movements is they've made it seem as if purity is something you can attain on your own. And there's nothing wrong with being pure, and there's nothing wrong with purity. But in order to walk in purity, you first need purification. So it's hard to tell people, hey, don't, when you walk out the door, don't you do nothing wrong. Don't you make a mistake. If you make a mistake, God don't love you. God don't want you. That's the wrong kind of teaching. It made people think that I got to be pure before I come in the doors and I can't make any mistakes. Now, that's really the wrong way to teach. The right way to teach it is we have to be purified by God continually. And consistently, I can be on the mountaintop today and in the valley tomorrow. And when I'm in the valley, sometimes I'm not so pure and I need God to clean me and I need God to wash me and I need God to give me a second chance and a third chance. I need God to make me over again. My purity comes from His purification. If I could do it by myself, I would have done it. If I could have been perfect by myself, I would have done it a long time ago. If I could have kept myself from cussing, I'd never cuss again. If I kept myself from fussing, I never would have fussed again. But the problem is, I'm me and I'm human, and without God, I mess up all the time. And without God, you mess up all the time. But you still can have purity by His purification. It's all about what God does through you and for you, not what you can do on your own. If you could do it on your own, you could stop the sun from shining, stop the rain from raining, stop the snow from coming, stop the frost from freezing, but you can't do nothing by yourself. But with God on your side and God in your life, He makes the difference in our lives. Now, you guys see, I've been wearing a beard for the last several years. And on Sunday morning, when you see my beard, it's got oils in it and juices in it, and it's kind of soft, but I don't wake up like that. When I wake up, the beard is a little nappy and kinky. But when I put that stuff on it, it changes the molecular structure of it, and it changes it in what it needs to be. When you put the purification of God on your life, it changes your nappy life, your dirty life, your messed up life, and it gives you what you can't do by yourself. All right, let's give us some definitions, and we're going to first, we're going to put the definition of purity up, and I'll read them. I've got six things that were listed that I found in the dictionary. One, it says the condition or quality of being pure. That is awesome. Number two, freedom from anything that debases, contaminates, pollutes, etc. That's awesome. Number three, ceremonial or ritual cleanness. That's awesome as well. Number four, freedom from guilt or evil, innocence. Well, the problem is not all of us are innocent. We're saved, we're trying, but if we looked back over our life, we got some stuff that's not innocent. Look at number five. Number five says physical chastity, virginity. There's nothing wrong with that. That is commendable, but not every one of us was a virgin before we got married. So where does that leave us? And number six, it says careful correctness. That means you got to be careful to be correct all the time. But look at what purification means. And I like this, and this is where we're going to work from. Purification is, one, the removal of contaminants from something, meaning that the something is you, and there is someone who's doing the removing from you, the removal of contaminants from something or someone. Number two, the process of extracting something from a substance. I like purification because it means it's an outside force bringing in and pulling out of people what needs to be pulled out to make sure that they can achieve purity. Number three, the process of making something spiritually or ceremonially clean, meaning our cleanliness, our holiness, our purity is a process that really is not dictated by us. It's dictated by an outside influence named God. And God reaches down inside of us and begins to purify us for His own purpose. All we got to do is stay on the potter's wheel. All we got to do is let Him do the work, because when He gets to working on us, it doesn't always feel so good. But you can't give up. You can't quit. You got to let Him clean you. It may take a while. It may take 12-step program. It may take AA and NA. It may take a while, but God will reach down in you and pull stuff out of you. God will do it. He will purify you. So there's purity, but what we're talking about is purification. We're talking about a God that will do the work for you. Now, we're not saying that we're lazy and we keep on just living raggedy lives and say, God, fix it. No, we're saying that we're trying to do everything we can, but sometimes we still fall short. The scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have tried it and failed. Well, actually, sin means missing the mark. It means we're actually shooting for the mark, but sometimes we miss. But the times that we miss, God is not leaving us. He's reaching in us, and he's purifying us through a process. The process is known in Christian terms as sanctification. All right, now having brought us up to speed with where we're going, that's just the introduction. Let's go to Zechariah 3:1. We'll have Mother Mitchell read that.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him.
Just to give us some background, this is not Joshua who fought the battle of Jericho. This is later in the Bible, and this is the time after they come away from the 70 years of Babylon. They are finally making it back to Jerusalem. They're trickling back home and trying to rebuild the nation. And there was a prophet in the land named Zechariah during that time, and he had several visions. When you look at Zechariah chapter 1, chapter 2, he had several visions. By the time we get to chapter 3, this is the fourth vision that he has. And so he sees a vision that seems to not make sense based on what they're coming from. But when you really put it together, you see the power of God. I'm going to ask you to read that verse again. They're going to put it back up for you.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him.
In those days, the high priest was the one who took on the sins of the people. He was the one who had to ask for forgiveness for everybody's sins. And so you have the high priest in the middle, and then on the left side, you have the angel of the Lord. Many times the angel of the Lord shows up throughout scripture. Sometimes it represents Jesus himself. It's hard to actually know, but many people think it represents Jesus himself, but the angel of the Lord. And then we have Satan on the right side standing next. They're all standing in this vision. Now, the problem is normally the right side means the right side of blessing. The right side represents blessing. The Bible talks about God using his right hand. Often his left hand is for judgment, but his right hand is for blessing. But the problem in this vision is on the right side was Satan. Satan was on the right side. So let's put up point number one. Point number one is this: accusations trumping blessings. Here's the problem with us trying to put on the mantle of purification is that on the right side of us, where it should be blessing, we have Satan, and the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. So everything you've done wrong in your life, you got Satan standing on the side of you trying to remind you of how bad you are, and sometimes it trumps or counteracts the blessing. And how does it do that? It's because what we do, we convince ourselves, I don't deserve to be blessed because the devil reminded me of what I did last month and last year and 10 years ago. You got to let some of that stuff go. I can't let the devil hang that stuff over my head all my life. Yes, I did it. Yes, I messed up. But when am I going to get a chance to move forward? I can't pay for all my sins. That's what I'm grateful for, the cross of Jesus Christ. I can't apologize to everybody I've done wrong. I can't fix everything I've done. Yeah, you should fix what you can fix. But here's the thing. Sin is not just sin of commission. It's also sin of omission. Commission is what you do. Omission is what you don't do. So I seen somebody and God said, say hi. Well, I don't like him. I ain't saying hi. I walk on by him. That's still a sin. It's not something I did. It's something I didn't do. And the Bible talks about our thoughts. Sometimes we sin in our thoughts. Not every sin actually did we act out. But if you get in your mind, some of y'all are sinful in your mind. And listen, if I let the devil accuse me of every sin that runs through my mind, every sin that I committed and omitted, I'd be a mess. I wouldn't be able to do anything. So we have point number one, accusations trumping blessings. Let's go to verse 2.
The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
I love this. Here's Satan running his mouth, talking to Joshua the high priest, or we're going to use ourselves as Joshua. Satan's running his mouth in our ear, saying all the reasons why we can't be blessed, and all the reasons why you won't be married, and all the reasons why you won't get out of debt, and you won't break this addiction, all the reasons why. And God doesn't do anything with us. He just hollers over at Satan, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you." And what that means is stop, go no further. So in this instance, it means shut up, Satan. You run in your mouth and you're talking things. But here's the thing that's interesting, and the reason why I understand where Satan's coming from. Satan ain't making up stuff. When he's accusing us, he's accusing us of stuff that we've done. We're not talking about he lies all the time. He's a father of lies. But we're not talking about him lying. We're talking about him pointing out where we actually have messed up. But what God says is, "I rebuke you, Satan. Shut your mouth." All right, let's look at point number two. God's authority trumping Satan's plans. See, Satan's plans is, if I accuse them long enough, then they will back away from the blessing, and then the angel of the Lord won't be able to purify them. But what the angel of the Lord says, "Shut up, Satan. This ain't got nothing to do with you." And this is what I need you to understand. Your sin ain't none of Satan's business, because Jesus paid the price for your sin. Let me give you an example. When you walk outside of here and you go over to my right, which would be your left, you're going to see a Cadillac and a GMC. That's my wife's car and my car parked on that side. Now, when you come out, you don't have any authority to tell me what to do with that, because you didn't pay the price for it. Since I paid the price for it, I control what happens. Actually, you can't even get in it, because you don't have the keys, so you don't have any authority. And what God was saying to Satan, "I paid the price for them. I paid the price to purify them. I know what you're talking about is true, but shut up, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. This belongs to me. These people belong to me. These are the children of the Most High." And here's the thing, they were coming out of captivity. They were coming out of punishment. So yes, there was a lot of accusation, but what the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So how about you just try it every now and then? Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Your kids ain't gonna never be saved because you live such a bad life in front of them. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You'll never come out of debt. Your house will be in foreclosure forever. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This ain't about me and you, Satan. This is about the God that stands on my side and will step in and purify me. This ain't got nothing to do with you, Satan. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. All right, let's look at Zechariah 3:2. We're going to read the fullness of it.
"The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?'"
I love what God is saying. He's like, not only am I telling you I rebuke you, but let me explain to you why I rebuke you. Isn't it me who chose him? And isn't it me who snatched him from the fire? So this ain't got nothing to do with you. That's going to bring us to point number three. God's choice, point number three, put it up. God's choice trumping accusations. So here's the thing. Yes, Satan can accuse me. And yes, the stuff he's accusing me is right. I did do it. Yes, I told y'all when God called me to ministry and let me know I was going to preach his word, I was in a hangover the moment he said that to me. But here's the thing. God says, "I made choice of him. And since I chose him, Satan, nothing you can say can stop me from choosing who I choose." And yes, I didn't deserve to be chosen, but I'm chosen. Yes, I didn't deserve to be picked, but I'm picked. And yes, I didn't deserve to be snatched from the fire, but I got snatched from the fire. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. God made choice of me, and God made choice of you. And yes, you should be able to put your head down and say you're no good, but I want you to pick your head up, because God has chosen you and me. So it is God's choice that trumps the accusations. Let's look at Zechariah 3:3.
Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel.
Now this brings the point even more. It wasn't that Satan was lying. Satan was telling the truth, and he was accusing him, and Joshua was standing with filthy clothes. Remember, he was representing, this is a vision, it's not something that really happened, it was a vision, but he was representing all the sins of the people, all the sins of Jerusalem, and he had filthy clothes. Let me be honest, even though you saved, you're filthy. Even though you have God on your side, you're filthy. You don't, we have to understand that just because God has paid for our sins doesn't mean our sins weren't filthy. And some of us got some filth in our life and filth in our generation and filth from the choices we made. And yes, Satan has a right to accuse us, but even in our filthy self, he still chose us. Even in our messed up self, one scripture says when we are polluted in our own blood, God still, and I'm paraphrasing, he still made choice of us and he still decided to clean us up even when we were totally messed up. And you don't have to pretend like you've been saved all your life. You ain't got to pretend like you've been perfect all your life. You ain't got to lie and say I've been saved all day, no evil have I done. You ain't got to tell that lie. You done messed up, you done fouled up, you've been filthy, but God made choice of you. And God made choice of me. Now, being a father who had a wife and we struggled with infertility and had miscarriages previously, one of the things I wasn't going to do when the children finally come is for me to say, oh, they dirty. They pooped on themselves, so I can't fool with them. Take these baby back to the hospital because they dirty. How foolish would that be? Now, they were dirty. And their dirt stank, but they were still my babies. Yeah. Sometimes they had poop all up their back. I mean, everywhere, but they were still my babies. Filthy, but they were still mine. They still carried my DNA. And there was nothing that a little soap, water, baby wipes, alcohol, and freshener spray couldn't fix. It wasn't nothing. If I worked hard enough, I could clean them babies up. But I wasn't going to throw them away. They was my babies. And you are a child of the living God. You might be filthy, but you his baby. And the blood of Jesus can wash you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And if I was Tracy Housley, I would say from the rooter to the tutor, the Holy Ghost can wash you coming and going. God can clean you. He can purify you. So grateful that he doesn't have to throw me away, even though I'm filthy. Now sometimes I was kind of funny, is it wouldn't fail to happen when we was on our way to church. The baby all cleaned up, looking good. That's exactly when they want to poop. Tear up all their clothes. And Devin say, I got to come later. I gotta change. But guess what? Them clothes, guess what? You could put them in the washer, put Tide with bleach on them, and them same clothes would come out white as snow. And sometimes the clothes was too bad. You throw them straight in the trash. But you could go to the mall and buy new clothes. See, not only can God wash you up, he can throw your old self in the trash and purchase a brand new self for you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That brings us to point number four. Our filthiness trumping God's choice. That's what Satan is trying to make us think, that our filthiness will trump God's choice. But here's the thing. God chose you, and if God chose you, your filthiness cannot trump his choice. So let's look at verse 4, Zechariah 3 and 4.
The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you.
See how easy that was? Here's Satan saying, you filthy, you filthy, you filthy. And here's the angel of the Lord saying, oh, just take off his clothes and put on some new clothes. Well,
take off the filth, and I give you the authority to pull off the filth, and I'll put something pure over it.
Let's look at number five, and this is where we have our title, the mantle of purification trumping our filthiness. God allows us to put on a mantle that will trump our filthiness. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't want us to be okay with our filthiness, but he wants us to know that he will trump anything. You know what Trump means? Trump, and I'm not talking about the ex-president who don't think he lost the election. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like when you're playing cards, there's something called a Trump suit. I like spades, and spades, when you play spades, I know Christians ain't supposed to play spades, but I play spades, and I like spades. And anyway, spades is, spades is Trump. And normally in cards, you have ace, king, queen makes everything. So you have the ace of hearts. That wins over any other heart. The king of hearts wins over any other heart. The queen of hearts wins over any other heart. If you go in that order, ace, king, queen. But in spades, if I don't have a heart, I can put a spade even on the ace of hearts, and that spade trumps the hearts because the trump suit cancels out everything. Here's the thing, that purification mantle, it'll trump everything that you've been through. I don't care if you've been molested. I don't care if you've been dogged out. I don't care if you've been depressed and anxious. I don't care if you've been addicted. When God puts the mantle of purification on you, it'll trump everything. I don't care what you used to be. When God makes choice of you and God puts his blood on you and God puts his mantle of purification on you, you are what God says you are. And you can be what God says you can be. And you can have what God says you can have. I can't get off of Section 8 because I've made so many mistakes with my money. My credit's so messed up. You ain't the only person that had messed up credit in your life. All you got to do is put your faith in God. And I'm not going to say he's going to do it overnight, but over a period of time, you'll watch God elevating you from where you are and from where you are now to where you want to be. Just watch God do it. Sometimes when I walk out of these doors and I look at the parking lot, our parking lot didn't always look like that. And I'm not just talking about paving on the parking lot. I'm talking about the vehicles that were there. We didn't always have brand new vehicles out there and vehicles that we leased. Sometimes we had bumpers tied up. We didn't have the best, but we started where we were. And when God begins to purify you, he elevates everything in your life. And no, it's not about material things, but don't you fool yourself. God will bless your material stuff too. God will touch everything because he purifies. And you are his children. Somebody say, I'm his child. All right, now let me throw something else in there. Now, the scripture talks about moving from being a child to sonship. Sonship is maturity. So when God purifies you because you are his child, you should show him you are thankful. We're moving into Thanksgiving season. You should show him you are thankful by maturing to being a son. See, sons don't have to have everything working right. Some of y'all think God is Santa Claus and he got to do everything you want, when you want, how you want. But when you a son, you learn how to not just receive from God, you learn how to sacrifice for God. And say, God, you have my life. I might be on the bus right now, but I ain't going to hold back my praise because I'm on the bus. God, even on the bus, you're yet worthy. You're yet God. You're yet holy. You're yet awesome. And when you get ready, you can turn it around. But until you turn it around, I'm thankful for the bus. And I'm thankful for my feet. And I'm thankful for my hands. And I'm thankful for clothes on my back and food on my table. It may not be steak, but it might just be bologna and cheese. But I'm grateful for it because I'm a son. I'm mature. I'm grateful that you're purifying me. And the reason why our parking lot is looking different, because many of us have gone through the process. Many of us didn't get stuff easy. We didn't get blessed easy. We got blessed tooth and nail. We got blessed with a lot of disappointments. We got blessed with a lot of trials. We got blessed with a lot of obstacles. But this is what we were like. We were like the old songwriter. We ain't got to wait till the battle is over. We shout right now. I don't need a limousine to shout. I don't need a Cadillac to shout. I don't need a three-piece suit to shout.
I'm shouting because God saved me and God rescued me and God delivered me and God is on my side. I don't care what you're dealing with. I know God been good to me.
Even when it doesn't look like he's been good to me, he's been good to me. See, I've had to look back over my life and thank him for stuff I cried about. Thank him for stuff that I was complaining about. But when I came on the other side of it, I found out what I went through made me who I am. I am who I am because of the miscarriages. I am who I am because of the loss. I am who I am because of the failure. I am who I am because of the filthiness. But I'm becoming who I'm becoming because God is purifying me all the while. Amen. He purifies. Let's look at Zechariah 3 and 5.
Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by.
So here you got the Satan was doing all the accusing, and God told him basically shut up. Then you got the angel of the Lord is saying, we're going to cleanse him. Now, it didn't tell us who, but people were coming, and they were taking off the filthy clothes, putting on clean clothes, and then they said, put a clean turban on his head, because they represent something. Let's go to point number 6. The mantle of purification trumping our weak minds. See, the reason why he said, I'm going to put cleanness on your mind is because in our mind is where we get the weakest. It's in our mind. Have you ever had flashbacks in your mind? I'm not talking about you're not there, but you have flashbacks. I'll give you an example of me when God delivered me from alcoholism. I was doing good, doing real good, except for one day I was sitting at Applebee's and I just happened to look over at the bar and all that liquor just seemed like it started talking to me. Oh, I mean, it seemed like it was calling out to me. I had a flashback. My mind had forgot that I was delivered. I wanted every single thing on that wall. It was just something about my mind. Here's the thing. The ghetto boy said it this way. Your mind will play tricks on you. You can be delivered and doing well, and a smell will set you back. A taste will do something to you, especially if you ever fought addiction. You can go 6-7 months and something can trigger you, and the next thing you know, you're trying to chase what you went through because we're weak in our minds. But here's the thing, God's purification will trump our weak minds. It'll hold your mind together. It'll hold you together. Even if you mess up and go back to what you came out of, when you come out for your high, God will talk to your mind and say, you still belong to me. Get yourself up. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Come back to the house of God, because God will regulate your mind. And let me tell you, in the season of pandemic and COVID and all the craziness that's going on, you need a sound mind. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God is purifying my mind. Things I used to want, I don't want no more. Things that used to drive me don't drive me anymore, because my mind is changing. My mind is maturing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he gave himself to the cross, and he yielded himself to the cross. And that mind is my mind. But here's the thing. That mind is not something we grab on our own. Because if we could grab on our own, we would have done it. If we could have done stuff through mind power, we would have done it. Oh, because you listen, I told myself before, in my mind, you on a diet. You're not eating sugar. Day 2 in the diet, I'm eating candy and I forgot everything about it and forgot because my mind is not strong enough to overcome my will. But when God purifies my mind, when God grabs my mind, when God grips my mind and puts his turban of purity over my mind, there's times I wanted to do wrong and got close to doing wrong and just couldn't follow through because my mind is purified. I said I was going to do it. I tried to do it, but backed out at the last minute because my mind is purified. I can't be what I used to be. I can't act as filthy as I used to act. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and a mighty burning fire. I can't be like I used to be. My mind has changed. Oh, what a change has taken place in my mind.
And when God gets a hold of your mind, when God gets a hold of your head, when God grips your mental faculties, there's something. The devil can't just buffalo and push you around because your mind will say no. I remember talking to my mother about something. And she was saying how the devil was trying to bring sickness over her body. And she had to tell the devil, no, you a lie. Her body may have felt it, but her mind said, no, I'm not sick. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. My mind lets me know I ain't got to let the devil push me around. I will not take it. No. Like it said in Psalms 118, I will not die, I will live and declare the work of the Lord. And that's why you need the word of God in your mind so that you can say it is written. And when the devil tries to push you and choke you out, with your mind you can win the battle. I'll give you an example that happened to me early on in ministry. And I believe I was still in my parents' house after I came out of college. And I have rededicated my life to the Lord. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced this, but when you've come out of a lot of junk, many times those demons still feel like they have access to your life. So I woke up one day. I woke up, but I couldn't move. They call it sleep paralysis, where you're awake, but you can't move. But I could feel the pressure of demons pressing me down on me. I almost feel like you're losing your breath, but you couldn't do anything. And only thing I could do was think Jesus. I couldn't say anything, couldn't move my body, but I just began to think Jesus. And I realized that when I would think Jesus, that thing would just lift up and come up off of me. Because even though I couldn't say anything, I had power in my mind. You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself delivered. You can think yourself free. You can think yourself back in the race. You can think yourself back in the fight. And you can think yourself in defeat. And you can think yourself in addiction. And you can think yourself in trouble. But if you allow God to rest your mind and purify your mind, you can use your mind to win these battles. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I know I hear Bishop say, show you right. Yes, I know I'm right. You can think yourself through some stuff. I heard my mother say years ago, and I understand it. She said, you will have certain things that will hit you that sends you straight to bed. You'll get some news, and you can't do nothing. You can't cry. You can't do nothing but go to sleep. But when you get up, you still got to face that thing. When you get up, you still got to face that thing. And I've learned how to face stuff in my mind. I told you the story about being in the emergency room, or the room when they told us about our second child being miscarried. And in my head, I hear God saying, praise me. And in my heart and in my emotions, I'm like, I don't want to praise you. I don't know why we keep losing babies. It doesn't seem to make sense. And being youth pastors, there was kids popping out babies left and right. And here we are doing the right thing. And Devin was a virgin till she got married. Did everything right. Now we can't have babies. And here I am in the emergency area, the area we was at. And they talking about we can't find a trace of a baby. That's another thing that crushed, is the way that the doctor, it was a female doctor, seemed like she would have more compassion. She's like, were you even pregnant? We can't even find a trace of a baby. Excuse me, can you be so cold? But anyway, in the middle of all that, I hear God saying, praise me. In my head, praise. No, 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 I don't feel like praise you. This ain't fair. This ain't right. They told me that if you believe God, if you serve God, things will work out right. But this ain't working out right, God. I want you to just help me, God. And God just kept saying, praise me. But in the middle of me trying to argue with God, something came up through my spirit, past my emotions, and grabbed hold of my mind. And in my mind, it wasn't out of my mouth, it was in my mind. I heard, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to hear no we worship you. I want to know why we keep losing babies. But before I can get out another complaint, because you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And I begin to realize, my mind begin to let me know, even though the situation is not good, God is still good. And even though this hurts, God is still sitting on the throne. And God still has power in his hand. And if you can pull your mind together, and if you can hold yourself together and bring up a praise out of your spirit, you'll find yourself pushing through this. And before, within a couple days, I was back on my game. And I said in my mind, I don't care when, I don't care how, but we're going to have some babies. Some way, somehow, it may not be this time. It may not have been the last time, but we're going to be a father and a mother. And guess what? I'm a father and my wife's a mother. 12 years long. My oldest son is 12 years. Because when God come through, he come through. But he wouldn't have come through if my mind wasn't purified. Some attacks that have come towards your mind is to get you to walk away from God. To get you to turn and throw in the towel. And if your life has been easy serving God, you ain't served God long enough. It's going to get hard. It's going to get tough, but let God purify your mind. And I like it the way Peter said. Peter said this. Jesus said something to Peter. Actually, he said something to his disciples because a whole bunch of people had left him. He had more than just 12 disciples. He had a bunch. He had multitudes following him, and a whole bunch of people left him. And Jesus turned to his 12 and said, y'all going to go too? Peter said, where are we going to go? You got the words to eternal life. I don't understand what you're talking about, because Jesus was talking about eating my flesh and drink my blood. And everybody else was saying, this is a hard saying. This man crazy. They left. Peter's like, I don't know what you're talking about either, but you're the only one that got eternal life. And so even though I don't understand it, where else can I go? And when you get that in your mind, that there's no place to turn to but God, you won't be so easy to quit and so easy to give up and so easy to throw in the towel and so easy to backslide. You need your mind set and fixed on God. I'm going all the way with God. If comes hell or high water, it may hurt, I may cry, but I'm not giving up on God. He's been too good to me. If you still need God to do everything when you want, how you want, where you want, what you want, you ain't saved enough. You need to be able to look God with a disappointed look in your eye and say, God, I'll yet serve you. Job said, all my appointed days, I'm going to hold on till my change come. And yet in my flesh, I'm going to see you. God, I don't understand this. This hurts. I'm broken. I can't understand what's going on, but I'm not letting go of you because my mind has been purified. Yeah. All right, let's look at verses 6, 7, 8. Verse 3, 6, 7, and 8. Let's look at verses 3, 6, 7, and 8.
The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements.
I want to stop us right there. It's so interesting that oftentimes when we talk about purity, we talk about us doing the purification. In other words, you have to obey, and obedience is right. But here's the thing. The Bible says that first God will purify you, and then after he purifies you, then he will ask you to obey him. The problem that we have is we try to clean people before we catch them. We try to go out there and tell everybody what they got to do and what they got to stop and what they got to quit. No, bring them in. Let God purify them. But once he purifies you, there is responsibility. Responsibility comes with this cloak of purification, this mantle of purification. When God has worked in your life, you can't just do any and everything. It's time to respond with some obedience. Scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. It's time to obey. Some of y'all are too old in Christianity to still be doing some of the stuff you're doing. It's time for you to obey. It's time for you to listen. Obey those that have the rule over you. And you can't obey nothing and nobody. Just rebellious as you want to be. You don't have the purification you need to if you're that rebellious. And you're that, you just let any little thing tick you off. If the pastor say, we're going to wear red on the third Sunday. Why are we wearing red? They always doing something. Why you always got something to say? God didn't make you the leader of the church. Either wear red or don't, but don't fuss about it. Stop being so rebellious. Learn how to obey. But obedience comes after that process of purification. All right, so let's look at verse 7. And excuse me, not verse 7, but point 7. The mantle of purification empowers us to obey. Here's the thing. We don't obey and then get purified, but it's the purification that empowers us to obey. I can't even obey if it wasn't for God giving me the strength to obey. So something I need to tell you, for all you obedient folk, all you holy folk, all you perfect folk, if it wasn't for God, you couldn't be obedient. You couldn't be holy. You couldn't be perfect. So don't give credit to yourself. Give credit to God. Some people say it this way. They say, to God be the glory. If you've been married 20 years and neither one of y'all have messed up in the marriage, to God be the glory. If you got kids that have graduated college, to God be the glory. If you have $100,000 in the bank account and $100,000 in your 401k, to God be the glory. If you no longer smoke cigarettes and you no longer chase women and chase men, to God be the glory. This ain't got nothing to do with you, but it was his purification that empowered me to obey. Whatever you see out of my life, it is because of the grace of God. If it wasn't for God's grace and his purification and his love and his cleanliness on my life, I would be a wretch undone. Like a ship without a sail. But I was lost and now I'm found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me and like you. So remember, it was his purification that gives us the right to, empowers us to be holy. All right, let's look at Zechariah 3:7b.
Then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here.
First of all, I'm going to purify you. And then that's going to empower you to obey. And then I'm going to ask you to obey. Then it says, then I'm going to do this. And so let's put up point number 8. The mantle of purification gives us authority where weakness was. So now you begin to walk in power and authority. He said, then I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you some power and authority. Guess what? You don't realize it because of all you've been through, but you don't realize how much authority you hold in the earth's atmosphere. You don't understand that demons tremble every time you wake up. When you wake up, you thought the alarm woke you up, but it was God that woke you up. And when you woke up, hell shakes because you got up, because you've got authority that you don't even know you have. And when you get in a situation, you'll watch that authority will rise up. You need a righteous indignation to rise up when you begin to pray and tell the Lord, I mean, speak on the Lord's behalf and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I plead the blood of Jesus. I curse death, trouble, and accidents. I curse COVID from setting up in my life. I curse cancer and diabetes. I curse everything not like God. Once you realize what God has done in your life, you realize you have power and authority. Behold, I've given you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're not as weak as we act. We're not as helpless as we act. You've got power. You've got authority. Your name means something in the heavenlies. Your name means something in the kingdom of God. Satan wouldn't fight you so much if you was nothing. He walked on by you, but the reason why he bothers you is because you have power and you have authority. And the reason why you have that is because you have the mantle of purification from your God. Zechariah 3 and 8.
Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant the branch.
Now remember, we're going all the way back in our minds to Zechariah in the time of Israel. And what was happening is it was prophetic. The vision was prophetic for things that would happen in the future, which is things that we're talking about right now, because we're using his vision as what God does in our life. But he was reminding Zechariah that you're seeing something that's going to have implication for years to come. And then he makes this statement. I'll read it through the bottom. It says, I am going to bring my servant the branch. Now, remember, in the time of Zechariah, the Messiah had not come. There was no Jesus that showed up. There was no baby in the manger, and there was nobody dying on the cross. So they had just came back from the exile, and God was letting them know, I'm going to do something in the future. So let's put up point number 9. The mantle of purification points us to Jesus, the branch. The branch that Zechariah was prophesying about was Jesus. And what I'm going to do in order to prove it to you, I'm going to go away from Zechariah and jump into Isaiah real quick to show you something. Let's go to Isaiah 11 and 1.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
The stem of Jesse means the line of Jesse. The line of Jesse is the line of Judah. It was Jesse. Out of Jesse comes David. And out of David comes the lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, I'm going to bring a branch out of this root of Judah. Here's the thing. They didn't know who he really was. Because when he showed up in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And because he came as a lamb, nobody knew he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so what Zechariah saw, I see a branch coming out of somewhere. I see somebody rising up. And here's the thing, in your life, it may look dusty and dark and dirty. You may look like the inn that Jesus was put in. You may look like the manger, but God will rise up. A branch of holiness will rise up out of your life. A branch will come out of the roots of God, out down in your belly. The scripture says this, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Something will come up out of who you are, and God has not left you, and God has not given up on you. But deep down inside your spirit, there's some wholeness inside your spirit. There's some power inside your spirit. There's some glory inside your spirit, and a branch is rising up. And guess what manure does? Manure causes what's in the soil to rise up. So let them throw the dirt on you. Let them throw the crap on you. Let them throw the junk on you. It's going to cause something to rise up out of your spirit. We do we do draw water from the well of our salvation. You got something down on the inside. I don't care what it looks like. You got some power down on the inside. You got some holiness down on the inside, and a branch will grow up out of your spirit, and you're going to be everything God called you to be.
I wish I had a church that wanted me to preach this morning. Verse 2, 11 and 2. Let's move on and show you something in this, because it's going to explain the next verse we go to in Zechariah. Isaiah 11 and 2, read that.
And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
The theologians call this the sevenfold spirit. And the prophecy that Isaiah was saying, that whoever this branch is, when he comes forth, the Spirit of God's going to rest on him in a sevenfold way. I'm going to read it and count them out for you. And the Spirit of the Lord, number one, it's the Spirit of the Lord. Number two, shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom is number two. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Put the verse back up so they can follow me with it. So I'm going to do it again. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's number one, shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, that's number two. And understanding, that's number three. The Spirit of counsel, that's number four. And the Spirit of might, that's number five. The Spirit of knowledge, that's number six. And of the fear of the Lord, number seven. That's the seventh fold spirit that was going to rest on that branch. But now that branch lives inside of you. You've got the Lord on you. You got wisdom on you. You got understanding on you. You got counsel and might on you. You got knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I don't mind you going to a therapist, but I need you to know, when the therapist gets done with you, you got counsel and might on the inside of you. You got wisdom and understanding on the inside of you. You got the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you back up. Don't you quit. You got the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why are you so confident? Because you don't know what spirit I got on me. You see, I had the spirit of tequila. I had the spirit of Johnny Walker Red and Johnny Walker Blue. I had the spirit of weed and cocaine. I had the spirit of heroin and sex. But now I got the Spirit of the Lord. And nothing can get me high like the Spirit of the Lord. Nothing can make me happy like the Spirit of the Lord. Nothing can make me praise like the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to put a praise on it because I got the Spirit of the Lord. And late in the midnight hour, God will turn it around, because I got the Spirit of the Lord. I used to be broke, but I got the Spirit of the Lord. I used to be down, but I got the Spirit of the Lord. I used to cry, but I got the Spirit of the Lord. I used to be sick, but I got the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall on me. Got the Spirit of the Lord down inside of me. I got the joy of the Lord down inside of me. I got the joy of the Lord inside of me. I got the peace of the Lord inside of me. I got the love of the Lord inside of me. I got the praise of the Lord inside of me. I can't quit if I try. I got too much down inside of me.
All right, let's move to Zechariah 3 and 9.
Show you how these prophecies match up. Zechariah 3 and 9. Read that.
See, the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone.
See, that doesn't make sense what Zechariah saw if you don't know what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw a sevenfold spirit. And what God says through Zechariah, I'm setting a stone in front of you that has seven eyes. Read.
And I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day.
He was prophesying about the cross. There's going to come a day that there's going to be a man that's going to get up on Golgotha's hill. And he's going to lay on a cross. And in one day, I'm going to take the whole sin of the world in one day. And he said, I'm setting a stone before you. And another scripture says he become the chief stone. And that's why Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I got the stone of Jesus on my side, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And guess what he can do? He can snatch my sin in one day. He can snatch my addiction in one day. He can snatch my depression in one day. He can snatch my debt in one day. He can snatch the demons off of me in one day. I'm so glad who's on my side. I got the Lord Almighty on my side. He's in me. He's behind me. He's beside me. He's in front of me. He's so high you can't get over him. He's so low you can't get under him. He's so wide you can't get around him. And he lives inside of me, and he lives inside of you. And the mantle of purification is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I got everlasting life. I got eternal life. I got precious life. God is on my side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, praise God this morning. I'm so glad I know the Savior. I'm so glad I know the Master. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. He's the architect of my life. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the lily in the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the friend to the friendless. He's the joy of the whole earth. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And he's my God. So guess what, accusing Satan? Shut up. I got God on my side. Let's go to our last point, point 10. The mantle of purification helps us live our vision every day. That's how we do here in Deliverance Temple. We love by living our vision every day. Listen, we can't live our vision without the purification of the Lord and without God's hand on our life and without God washing us and cleansing us. But let's look how they close Zechariah. It only has 10 verses in the chapter. Let's look at the 10th verse.
In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty.
I read this and I was trying to get revelation on it. I didn't really quite catch what it meant. Now, I like the way they did it in the Message Bible. So put it full screen in the Message Bible.
In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty.
That's not it. Go back up. It's one that says MSG. That's the one I want right there.
At that time, everyone will get along with one another.
Wait a second. When you really have the mantle of purification, you don't got time to be so petty. You ain't got time to worry about who voted for and who did what and where they, what church you go to and how you've been baptized. When you have the purification and you know that we were all sinners in a pit, but the stone and the rock of Zion that was cut has made a difference. Guess what? It makes you learn how to live your vision every day. Come on, let's put that verse back up. And read it in its entirety.
At that time, everyone will get along with one another, with friendly visits across the fence, friendly visits on one another's porches.
Friendly visits on, and it's not talking about just going and visiting people. It's talking about having a spirit that's so approachable that you invite people in your life and you're able to tell people your transparency. I ain't got to lie about what I came out of because I've been purified. I ain't got to hide it. I won't tell all of it over a pulpit with a mic. No, 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 I won't, especially going live. I won't tell it all. But there's some people that I can pull in my life and bring on my porch and tell them about how good God been to me. And when they turn around and tell me how good God been to them, we can have a praise party. Some of y'all, the reason why y'all so depressed, you ain't talk to nobody. Call somebody up and ask them how they got out of what they got out of. How'd you get your situation turned around? And have a testimony service. Well, Pastor Andre stopped testimony service. No, I didn't stop it. You can have testimony service on your phone and on Facebook. You can call somebody up on FaceTime and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Sit on your porch together and say, God delivered me and God blessed me and God's been there for me, and I was going to quit and I was getting ready to throw in the towel and I was getting ready to give up, but God stepped in the nick of time. You ought to tell somebody.
That'll help you live your vision. And we're going to put it up in the New Living Translation, and we're going to close from here. In the New Living Translation, reading that same verse.
And on that day, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit with you peacefully under your own grapevine and fig tree.
Grapevine and fig tree, both of those things represent the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your life. You invite people to sit with you because you have something to offer. Because no longer are you filthy. You've been purified with the mantle of purification. And when you bring people into your life, when you bring people into your space, here's the thing. Nobody should come into your life and be worse off when they leave you than they were when they came. And some Christians are so filthy and they won't make available what God has made available. They won't let it come in. Some people are so bitter and hateful and so angry. You wonder, why are you even a Christian? Look like they shot lemon juice in their veins. They so sour. They so mean. You ought to be the happiest person in the land, because when you cross from this life to the next, there's a mansion in glory with your name on it. There's a crown of life with your name on it. You ought to be the happiest person in the world. And you bring people into your life peacefully and share with them what God has done in your life. And here's the thing, as I close, you don't always have to be actually talking about what God has done. You can actually take somebody and go to a basketball game. And you don't even have to talk about God at the basketball game. But the fruit of the Spirit will exude from your life. And people will wonder, when I went to the basketball game with you, I felt so good. Can I come to church with you? Can I ride in the car with you? Can I sit at your house? Can I go to Bob Evans with you? It's something on your life. And it's the fruit of God. It's the peace of God. It's the might of God. It's the power of God emanating from your life. Because you got the mantle of purification. No longer are you dead in your sins, but you woke up to righteousness. And when the world sees Christians like that, you ain't got to beat them up. You ain't got to tell them what they got to do. You ain't got to tell them what they got to put down. It'll draw them to church. It'll draw them to God. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee and shown thee my salvation. And it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth folk to repentance. What if one day we just say, hey, everybody in Muncie, pull up to the Marathon station. We're paying for y'all gas. You ain't got to put down your weed. You ain't got to stop being a prostitute. But because we Deliverance Temple, we got to pay for your gas. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads folk to repentance. And I can't wait till God bless us where we can feed hungry and clothe homeless and turn this city around. And when people say Deliverance Temple did it, we say, no, it was God that did it. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eye. Amen. Ain't that a good way for us to go to our sabbatical? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you, God, that you are making us disciple makers. And just like Joshua, we were standing filthy and that Satan was standing blocking our best and accusing us. Oh, but the angel of the Lord was on the side of us, and he put that mantle of purification on us. Thank you for the mantle of love, the mantle of anointing, and the mantle of purification to pull it all together. And when we look at that, that's L-A-P, which spells lap, because you're going to put the blessings of God right in our lap, and everybody's going to know those are the people that God has blessed. Now, God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, and they want you right in their lap, they want you to come in their lap, God, let them just repeat these words. Father God, come into my life, come into my lap, and come into my heart, and give me this purification that they're preaching about, and I'll serve you the rest of my days in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.